Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have us on the line, Holly Swanson. Hi, Holly. How are you doing?
I am doing good, Dr. Stan. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. And Holly and her husband, C.W., they work on something called Operation Green Out. They're trying to get the green education out of our schools. And by green, I mean environmental radicalism that is indoctrinating our children, not educating them, but indoctrinating them in a radical environmental attitude, so that they love the trees and they love the flowers, but they hate humanity and they think there are too many people in there, and all sorts of ideas that have very little basis in reality. So, Holly, with that as a background, why don't you tell our listeners what you and CW are up to?
Well, we have the book Set Up and Sold Out, which is now available in the third edition, and that book specifically documents the undisclosed political agenda that the environmental, now green, movement is advancing. Education for sustainability is a new term. It's been around for a while, but basically that's the umbrella, the smokescreen, to embed the philosophy of the green parties into our public education system and, in effect, turn public education into a partisan indoctrination process for the International Greens. And the problem with that is the values of the International Greens not only have a complete contrast, revolutionary contrast, to the values and Western traditions that we cherish, such as private property rights, and go as far as an anti-God agenda, absolutely.
And, of course, really, if you study the philosophy of the Greens, it's the study of the communist movement. Little wonder that Mikhail Gorbachev, a former dictator of Russia, is so involved with this whole environmental movement and the Green movement. Gee, do you think there might be some relations up there?
It's one of those, gee, do you think there might be some relation there? It's been very carefully, this hoax has been very carefully designed to basically ambush the American people, ambush the teachers, ambush the students into believing that what is being advanced is actually to protect the environment, as opposed to what you just said. Our documentation shows that it is to advance communism, socialism, under the guise of environmental protection. And our children are the targets. And unfortunately, our kids, as they are children, do not understand the difference between what makes a society work, how our freedoms are established, why they continue, and why it is so very important that we do not have a partisan agenda in our school, because it is a direct threat to individual freedom and the democratic process.
And what they are doing is using our schools all across America. Now, what luck are you having talking to, you know, and trying to get this green agenda out of our schools and bring in a responsible form of education? Our kids know far more, you know, about trees, you know, than they know about mathematics. They know far more about global warming than they do about really than geography. And what they're doing is wasting the educational system to change these children's perspective as far as the world.
Absolutely. One of the things that really speaks so clearly to that is an Education for Sustainability conference, a national conference that was held just last October, and speaking to how basically to erase the belief in God and replace it with a belief in Gaia, and we'll get to that after the break.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Holly Swanson, and she's written a book called Set Up and Sold Out, which we carry and which we highly recommend to you. It will give you an excellent overview of this whole environmental movement and how it is being used, not to educate, but to indoctrinate our children in a whole flock of beliefs having nothing to do with reality, replacing the God of the Bible with worship of Gaia, and it is a religion. So pick up on that thought, Holly, and what's really going on and how they're using our educational system to misinform our children and really confuse them and lead them away from God and family and country.
Well, specifically, again, back to that Education for Sustainability National Conference, one of the presentations at that conference was titled Mythic Transitions and the Concerns of Sustainability, a proposal for higher education in the 21st century. And in that proposal was an outline specifically of how to use the humanities as a method to teach students that God is a myth, and to basically say the whole myth of the apocalypse is a Western old-fashioned tradition, and discuss the prospects of supplanting that myth of the apocalypse with the myth of Gaia. So in other words, replace the belief in God with a belief in Gaia. And there are so many components of this, and one of the strategies I believe very sincerely is to not just create an alternative religion, although that is there are those that absolutely believe in the worship of Mother Earth, but also to create a atmosphere of atheism among college students that God is a myth. And again, the goal is to change the beliefs and values. One of the leaders in the Education for Sustainability movement is Anthony Cortese. He's the president of Second Nature. Second Nature was founded basically by Senator John Kerry. And one of the things that Cortese said really emphasizes the scope of this movement. And his quote is that humans are guided by a whole set of beliefs and values. And those come from culture, from religion, from social, economic, and political structures. We need to change all of those. And that's the agenda behind Education for Sustainability, is to use public education to change our beliefs and values, our cultural, religious, social, economic, and political structure. And if that happens, if the Greens are successful in embedding this philosophy, this partisan political agenda, into our schools, we will lose our children just as surely as those individuals and parents in Germany lost their children to the Nazi movement. And
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Holly Swanson is our guest, and she's just saying that what's going on at our schools is a matter of taking over the minds and the reality of our children, and if we don't do something about what these wicked people are doing within our educational system. And of course, it doesn't mean the average teacher is wicked. They just don't know. They have been programmed with all of these crazy ideas by the people who taught them. But Holly was saying that if we don't, you know, reclaim our children and our children's education, then we will lose our children just as soon, as sure as the German people lost their children to the Nazis, as the Russian people lost their children to the communists. And as we are losing our children today to the radical green environmental movement that has one solution for every problem, a new series of government controls of our lives. Almost like communism, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And the idea, of course, of the communist ideology was to use every subject in school to teach a lesson in how students could be good little communists.
And of course, they really honestly somehow believe that communism, the state withers away. No, communism, stripped of all of its idealism, is an autocratic fascist, red fascist society where every aspect of human endeavor is controlled, and they will control the amount of water you consume, they will control what you do with your garbage, they will control, you know, how you live, they will control how much you make, they will control how much you use your car, and right now they're doing everything to run up the price of gasoline. Natural gas, so that it will be so expensive for people to have, you know, electricity made from natural gas, so they'll be able to drive their car. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're going to get oil up to $100 or $150 a barrel. And when the price of gasoline goes to $6 or $8 a gallon, well, you're going to do what they want to. But all of this is planned. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing.
I would have to say what we have witnessed or what we have documented since 1995, so much, that was when the first edition of the book was released, and the updated third edition has just been released. And the point is, the Greens do know what they're doing. The leadership knows. Many people who have their heart in doing something good to protect the environment may not realize, and many probably do not realize, that there is an undisclosed political agenda that is being advanced, just like clockwork, just like you were mentioning. And, it, you know, it's to make control possible by making control legal. For example, the Kelo ruling that just was handed down by the Supreme Court, which would make it legal, basically, to condemn private property. And the opinions that have come after that is it makes our citizenry very vulnerable to having their private property seized for whatever reason, economic development. And, of course, Karl Marx said, communism can be summed up in a single sentence, the abolition of private property. There is a tremendous amount of backlash already occurring from this decision. A senator in Texas has introduced or is beginning to introduce legislation to help protect people's private property rights. But I think we've come to a point, and you have made this point many times, is that this is something that is planned. This is something that is being executed in a very organized, methodical manner. And we do need to all become more actively involved because our country, our freedoms, our children are on the line. And it's not an alarmist view. It's absolutely based on fact.
And, of course, the thing is, what they're doing is waging a war halfway around the world in the name of fighting terrorism. And while our attention is focused on fighting terrorism over there and bringing freedom to the people of Iraq, we're losing our freedom here at home.
Absolutely. That is absolutely a clear statement.
And that's just what they did during Vietnam. The greatest moves towards socialism and fascism in the United States occurred during the Vietnam War. So let's get back to what's going on today, because they're getting our kids. They're scared to death of global warming. They're scared to death of nuclear energy. They're scared to death of the ozone hole. They're scared that we're going to run out of trees, and we're going to run out of oil, and we're going to run out of water. And, oh, we got to regulate water, and we can't be drinking so much water. And every effort to try to do what's logical, to put in dams and well, we couldn't do that. My goodness, think about the fish. Then we've got to tear the dams out, and they're actually tearing down dams all across America to create the problem to justify more controls. People find it hard to believe this could be going on, but it's going on all across the country, isn't it, Holly?
Yes, it is. And I for those who have not had the opportunity to study or talk about or learn about this movement, it's really, for example, there are multiple books out there that confirm that this is going on. The book that we have written ties pretty much all the pieces together to show how it is happening, not just what's happening, but how it's happening, and also what people can do about it. We are not helpless, and we are not hopeless. As you have mentioned many times, we have the opportunity to protect our freedoms, but we can only do that if, after we understand, we take action and be part of that same old adage, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And we all need to be active participants in solving this problem and returning to the foundation of this nation, not only the traditional moral base that this nation was founded upon, but return to a quality basic education instead of the social education that we have allowed to basically take over public education.
Well, Holly, how can people get in touch with you and your effort to try to get the green out of our schools, the green indoctrination, the socialist indoctrination out of our schools?
Well, there are multiple ways. I think one of the quickest ways is just call the campaign line, which is 541-830-1446. Call us directly. Let's hear what is happening in your area, in your school. Number two, I would suggest strongly to support Radio Liberty, order a copy of the book, because you cannot fight an enemy you cannot see. And truly, the Green Agenda is an enemy of our nation. It is a communist philosophy which threatens our very freedom. So I would encourage you to, all listeners, to get a copy of the book from Radio Liberty. And again, contact us, 541-830-1446, and let's talk about what you can do to get green politics out of school in your area.
You know, I think it's so funny. Most people think that communism is dead. Well, if communism is dead, then why does Mikhail Gorbachev have so much influence right here in the United States today?
Exactly.
If communism is dead, what about those 1.25 billion people who live in communist China? Why don't we refer to it as communist China? Why is it all just China? Or why isn't it communist North Korea or communist Vietnam or communist Cuba or why don't we ever refer to these countries as communist? And it's all a matter of perception.
It's playing games with our minds. It's truly a matter of perception. And what not only the media, but many of the leaders in our country have done is perpetuate the idea that communism is dead. And instead of looking at, in our country, the political philosophy of the environmental movement and the direction it's going and being willing to say the word communism, that has been something that I think our nation has been somewhat pushed into a time warp that we're not supposed to talk about communism. And literally, it's a tremendous strategy. How can you possibly address a problem you're not supposed to discuss?
Amen to that. And so, but it is, to call it communism, call it fascism, call it what you will,
exactly.
It is an authoritarian system that is gradually centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., and all regulation over every aspect of our lives there.
Well, the Sustainable Development Agenda is literally mirroring what Lenin wanted to do to create a central plan for the entire nation.
All right.
And this is what sustainable development would do. And just to answer your question, we were talking about Mikhail Gorbachev and his involvement. After his supposed disposition from power in the Soviet Union, he has positioned himself as a leader in the environmental green movement and definitely promotes the same ideology as the green parties. And his pet project, the Earth Charter, is what a surprise what the Education for Sustainability experts have selected as the tool to teach this ideology, this sustainable ideology, to our children. And it is the implementation arm of the Green Party. It absolutely mirrors communism. There is no mention of God in that document. And this is what right now is available as an educational material or being promoted as an educational material in colleges and schools in the United States.
And I really don't understand that, because there is a spiritual element to the Earth Charter, and why is it all right to teach that spirituality but not to have the Ten Commandments? It's almost as if why the courts approve of this Gaia worship and this spirituality being pushed by Mikhail Gorbachev and Stephen Rockefeller and Marie Strong, but certainly not the traditional Ten Commandments of the Bible. I mean, that's no, but Gorbachev and Strong have both said that the Earth Charter is to be the new Ten Commandments. Is that why they're teaching that in school, and that's all right to teach, but not the old Ten Commandments?
You've got to out with the old in order to come in with the new, and the idea is to exactly that. When you look at the goal to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, the goal to remove the monuments off from our public squares or wherever else the Ten Commandments exist publicly. If you study the goals of the Green Party, those are two of their goals. This is not coming out of the sky. It's simply green communism, and it's disguised as environmental protection. But if you look closely, the links and connections are there. And you're exactly right. It's to remove God and replace it with a different philosophy or atheism.
Now, what sort of luck are you having getting some of this education out of the schools, or at least presenting both sides?
Well, we're working very diligently on it. We have had Earth Day, which is also a front for the Greens, documented, not hearsay, front for the Green Movement, using Earth Day to promote the Earth Charter and the other ideologies associated with the Green parties. We have got that out of one school so far, and we're working on more.
All right. Well, I think it's important that, and of course, it can be done, you know, all across America, but Holly, quite frankly, needs your help. And when we get back, we'll talk more about that. Right now, we want to invite you to give us a call when we get back. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, you have a comment, but understand what they're doing is targeting the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. And if we don't intervene, they're going to win.
ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the way down off the eastern coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Holly Swanson, and we've got James calling from the Felton area. Hi, James. Did you have a question or comment for Holly?
Yeah, I had a comment, just that, you know, sometimes it sounds like when this topic comes up that the connection to being a good steward, which is a biblical concept, that is somehow not looked at as being something that people should carry on in their everyday life, regardless if they believe in the Bible or not. And I think that's one of the reasons why the environmental movement has gained so much momentum in the past 10 years, is because a lot of businesses have not been showing that they adhere to those concepts.
Well, now, of course, what specifically are you thinking of as far as being a good steward? Everybody should be a good steward. People should not be throwing things out of the car, should not be contaminating things.
Right.
Do you think, how would you approach the issue, for instance, of the fact that we need additional energy? What would you do to get additional energy? Either that,
topic.
If you're going to have an industrialized society,
right.
And how would you approach that?
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's interesting because there's been a lot of research in science and technology on how to develop, do two things. It would boost the agrarian base of our economy, and it would also stimulate the industrial side, and it would also take our dependence off foreign oil if we would subsidize as much basically. Biodiesel type fuels, fuels that are can be regenerated through growing crops.
All right. Well, let's get to Holly's. How would you respond to him?
I'm just really glad you called, James, because one of the things that you mentioned is what I believe is one of the most important things to address that we can address, and that is the idea that we're supposed to be good stewards. Of course we are. We have been challenged that man has dominion over nature and is supposed to take care of it. What is critically important to understand that as the Greens are promoting the idea that and deliberately and intentionally targeting the faith-based communities to get involved in this movement, at the same time that they are promoting this, the underlying agenda is that man is part of nature, not a steward above, but part of nature. This is this whole idea of systems thinking that is incorporated into Education for Sustainability and the Earth Charter, and it is designed to create, again, the belief in Gaia, because man is a part of nature, Gaia is a living being, and therefore it turns it around, and actually it is a targeting of the faith-based community to basically destroy the belief in God. And in the book Set Up and Sold Out, I document specifically that one of the teaching methods is to ask students basically and promote the idea that the Western worldview that man is a steward above nature makes man selfish. And
right.
That's not the right way to go.
Right, right. And I totally believe that, you know, what you're saying. But I think one of the things that is our stumbling block is that people that have the ability to make policy and generate policy, implement policy, not only on a government level, but, the CEOs of large businesses, they're the ones that have to start figuring out that they should make the switch, not only for in terms of being economical, but in terms of being a good steward. And also, it would decrease our dependence on foreign energy sources, which would stop us from getting entangled in all these foreign affairs. You know, where
I understand, and I think what you're saying, I think we have agreement here that what the book Set Up and Sold Out promotes is the concept that we need to make critical distinctions between green politics and the ideology of the Greens that mirrors communism, which promotes atheism, and taking sound steps to correct environmental issues or create a healthier environment. There's
right.
a critical distinction there. And
right,
what's happening?
I really believe that Christians should be a great example of good stewards. They should be the best environmentalists, really, because they should be protecting God's kingdom, God's creation. We should, creation cries out to everybody that God is the creator of it and God is the designer of it,
And
that's how we reflect on nature, really, to see God's handiwork. And so it is our duty here to not only to protect it, but we're also supposed to, use all the wisdom that He's given us.
One of those things I just got to say quickly is when you have the environmental movement creating false claims to advance their agenda, we should remember, thou shalt not bear false witness, and apply that as we make critical distinctions.
Okay, well, thanks very
much
for calling, James. Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
The euro and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Holly Swanson. And I think it's so important to understand that some people want the problems. They don't want a solution, because if you had a solution, how would you justify ever more government controls? There's nothing wrong with biofuels. You can actually turn garbage into oil, you know, but of course they really don't want a solution. If they had a solution, then how would they be able to justify so many of the things that are going on in the world today? I mean, nuclear power is an excellent approach as far as energy is concerned. I had a young man who was furious at me recently when I said I saw nothing wrong with nuclear reactors. He said, "Would you want one in your backyard?" And I simply said, "Well, look, my son was on a nuclear carrier on and off for a period of almost 5 years. And those nuclear carriers were generated by nuclear generating plants, and that's how they work. In fact, our Navy, our submarines, they're all nuclear fueled. There's nothing to worry about." Well, of course, he was concerned, "What you do with the all the debris that comes off? What about the spent fuel?" I said, "You reprocess it. That's what they do in every other country in the world. What about all the tailings they have from the mining?" I said, "You put them back in the ground where they came from." He was so mad at me, he wouldn't even talk to me, because his very being had been conditioned to believe, of course, that nuclear energy is bad. And it didn't matter what we said. He knew it was bad. He knew it wasn't a solution. But you see, this has been actually promoted by the very people who, you know, are selling oil. Why? Of course, they didn't want nuclear energy. Now the time has come when they're going to have nuclear energy, and you're going to find it very, very soon. Now they're going to condition our minds to accept nuclear energy, just as for 30 years we've been conditioned it was bad. It's amazing how they can control what the American people think when they control the media. Would you agree with that, Holly?
The media is, as Lenin said, you know, our chief ideological weapon. That is what Lenin said. The media, the press, was their chief ideological weapon. And we have seen time and again where the media, you can excuse it as an accident once or twice, but when it becomes a pattern, then you can see that it's deliberate deception of the American people. And just one of the things I was thinking about in response to what James had brought up in regard to the environment and being good stewards, I think that essentially that the American people have been very good stewards, and communism does not create good stewardship, as evidenced by the track record in the Soviet Union. And in addition, that I think is something very, very important, is U.S. Senator James Inhofe and his committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, recent report on the political activities of the environmental movement. And he said, and this is very important to what I said about thou shalt not bear false witness, not in regard to Senator Inhofe, but in regard to what the environmental movement is perpetuating and the perception of fear they're creating in America. What Senator Inhofe said regarding his committee's findings was, what we find now is the fleecing of the American public's pocketbooks by the environmental movement for their political use. What we find now is exhausting litigation, instigation of false claims, misleading science, and scare tactics to fool Americans into believing disastrous environmental scenarios that are untrue. He said this in a floor speech, October 2004. And this is based on a Senate-level investigation. Our research also shows that scare tactics and false claims are a part of the environmental movement's agenda to advance their political goals. And I think that as Americans, we have our duty is to be responsible for our freedoms and for the freedom for future generations, as well as to the traditional beliefs that this nation is founded upon. Without those beliefs, you do not have the beacon of hope and freedom for the world.
And you know,
take those beliefs away, they're gone.
You know, I think one of the most amazing things is how the entire media tells us about global warming, and all the scientists say, you know, if we don't do something about global warming, the world's going to fall apart, and the Empire State Building, you know, will be buried underwater. Right. What you have to understand is that carbon dioxide makes up between 2 and 3% of the greenhouse gases. Almost all the rest of it is water. How will 2 or 3% have an effect? And it doesn't have an effect. Global warming has nothing to do with carbon dioxide. We have gone through cycles. One time, Greenland was green. They grew grapes there. Why? Because we've had times when the world is heated up and times when the world is actually cooled off. But they don't bring this out to you, and they tell you about these various government studies, UN studies, and they simply lie. The old thing is that it's not that figures lie, but liars figure. And we have the documents from so many sources to put an end to this whole discussion, but the American people aren't allowed to know, because the people who control the media want to convince us that we've got to sign the Kyoto Protocol. What is the Kyoto Protocol? It is an attack on the industrial infrastructure of the United States. The greatest polluter in the world today is Communist China. And Holly, do you know what the Kyoto Protocol will do to Communist China's pollution of the world?
I believe pretty much nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
And how can they sell this to the American people? Well, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, everyone believes.
Yes, and in that regard, you know, this is a very simplistic thing. But as we have heard from people for a long time, the world goes through changes. Climatic changes, and all you have to do is watch a radio or weather report, and they'll say, well, my goodness, this is as hot as it was back in whatever, 1904. So if it's as hot back then, and we didn't have global warming then, you take a look at these temperature changes, part of that is a natural process. It's nature doing what nature does. But when you present it as an end-of-the-world scenario, even Patrick Moore, Dr. Patrick Moore, former director and founder of Greenpeace, has testified before Congress that the world is not coming to an end as these disastrous environmental scenarios suggest, and that the environmental movement has been hijacked by political extremists who are using science basically to advance a political agenda instead of basically concern for the environment. It's all out there. The difficulty for the American people, I think, is realizing that, first of all, deception of this magnitude would be perpetuated on the American people. The love of the environment, our love of nature in general, our creatures, this is all an emotional buy-in, and that's how the Greens have presented it, on an emotional level. Children are being scared into compliance, into activism in our schools. And I think that one of the most important things as we look at this issue of education for sustainability is a quote by Ronald Reagan. I think he summed it up so eloquently and so truly about our children and the future. And he said, "Freedom is a fragile thing and is never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. Those who have known freedom and then lost it have never known it again." And the Greens are targeting one generation of our kids, well, actually they're on their second generation at least, to change our children's values and beliefs. And if you do that, then you control the future of the nation. And as you said, Dr. Stan, before one of the breaks, basically, if we don't intervene, the Greens are going to win.
We lose by default. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you honestly believe in your whole heart of hearts that there is global warming and that the Arctic ice cap is melting? Well, it is melting. It melts every summer, and then it freezes over again in the wintertime. But they keep telling you this over and over and over again. You know, pretty soon people begin to believe. Yes, the overall world has been in a phase of warming since about 1600. Before that, of course, we were in a phase of cooling, and now it turned around and began to warm up in 1600. The world has had great times of freezing and glacier ages and times of great warming, but it has nothing to do with CO2, which only makes up at the most 2-3% of the greenhouse gases, but they will never tell you that because they control the media. So as you try to get these messages into our schools, do you get a lot of resistance from the environmentalists?
Oh, yes. In the fact that the Greens do not want to really publicize this issue, but from parents and teachers, it's a different story. Many teachers recognize that there is a partisan agenda being pushed in the schools. Parents from across the nation, different parts of the nation, call and during different talks or opportunities such as this to speak with the public, call in and say, "I don't know what happened, but my child is now an activist," and just basically there's such a void in communication because the children are being turned against their parents. And that's one of the saddest things of all, to witness, is to hear and see this. And what we can do, this is, I think, the most important thing, is that we can do many things to turn this around. We do not have to let a handful of people dictate the future of our children, dictate the future of our nation. We simply need to get back to basics in our schools and eliminate the social political agenda that is being pushed in there now. And it is not a part of all the curriculum across the board yet. Education for sustainability can be stopped. We just need to work together and remember, united we stand, divided we fall.
Amen.
And we can do it.
Okay, let's go to Fred, who's calling us from Missouri. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine.
Hey, Fred.
Hi. I'm enjoying your talk there.
Do you have a question?
I had a military guy tell me one time, he says, no matter what happens, whether it's planned or it's a random happening, the government tries to make the most out of it.
Okay, so what was the point? I
acknowledge that. It's just like she was saying, that the environmental movement has been hijacked, and so they take all this science and they twist it and turn it and spin it to get to get people to go along with their political agenda.
Amen to that.
Yes, which reminds me, which you can speak to so clearly, the report from Iron Mountain, Dr. Stan.
Right. I think that the report from Iron Mountain was written back in the 1960s, and whether it was really a government think tank or was put out by a gentleman named Lewin, I don't know, Carl Lewin. Initially, he said it was somebody had given it to him. Later on, he suggested he had written it. But one of the things they were talking about was we had to have an enemy to rally the people behind. And if we weren't going to have wars, what could we rally the people behind the government? Well, maybe if we can convince them there were aliens from outer space. Then, of course, the people would rally behind the government and give up their freedom. Or maybe the people would be too smart for that. Maybe what we had to do was convince them that there was an environmental crisis. And we might even have to pollute the whole planet to do it. But the danger to the environment could be utilized as a mobilizing force to get the people behind government. That's the story of the report of Iron Mountain. We do actually have copies of that, and we think it's important to read, because Lewin said there is no question that this is exactly what was being talked about in the think tanks back in 1965. So the report from Iron Mountain, it is available from Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. A very important book. Anything else, Fred?
Well, this depleted uranium, since it's going to pollute the whole planet, and
right,
it stays around for 4 billion years, who's going to win?
Well, where are the environmentalists when we really need them?
Yeah, really.
All right. Thanks so much, Fred.
I just, in response to what Fred said, it is selective. And this is what is another indicator that the goal is not to protect the environment. The goal is control. For instance, when there were the goal in the Pacific Northwest to save the spotted owl, to lock up the forest, to save the spotted owl. When the forests were locked up, okay, the Greens were happy for a minute. Then we had massive forest fires, and the Greens' basically position was let it burn. Now, which is it? If you care about the animals and you need to protect them, then how can you have on the next hand a let it burn policy? Because it boils down to basically not using the resource. And if you either lock the people that use those resources out of the forest or you let them burn, it accomplishes the same goal.
I think you're absolutely right, but I think what people have to understand is the power of the environmentalists has never been their own power. They are financed by the great tax-exempt foundations that want to establish a fascist society. They've always pushed all government control of our lives. The environmental movement is backed by many of the major corporations, people like Ted Turner, who wants all power in government. And they're backed by the media, which is controlled by five major corporations. So the power of the environmentalists is really the power of the media, the power of our great corporations that are dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty in this one world concept, and then the power of the tax-exempt foundations. Follow the money, as someone once said, and I think you'll be quite surprised to find out that many of our great corporations are backing this movement to increase government control, to control their competitors, but not themselves.
And that speaks right to what many have said, is why would these very wealthy individuals and foundations fund a communist movement? And just to look at that, in a communist society, there are the social elite who live in luxury, and the rest of the citizenry lives basically in under a slavery-type environment.
But people say it could never happen here, ladies and gentlemen. It is happening here. They're collecting dossiers on you. They're going to soon have a federal identification card. They are certainly mounting video cameras every place. They're reading our mail through Echelon. They are, I should say, our emails, our faxes, listening to our telephone calls. Fred, do you have a, is calling from Salinas. Fred, do you have a comment?
Yes, I just wonder if you and your guests could talk a second. I was looking through a book here, and there was an ad for Adderall for ADHD for our children.
Right.
And then I looked in my Worst Pills, Best Pills book, and Adderall was nothing but amphetamines.
Right, well, that's what Ritalin is,
And
too.
I wonder if you and you two could talk a little bit about what's going on in the schools with that.
Well, all right. Well, Holly, do you want to comment on that at all?
Well, the attention deficit syndrome definitely was an excuse to introduce pushing Ritalin on our kids, and someone said, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but that a long time ago, the attention deficit syndrome really was just like kids having ants in their pants. And the ADA has been used to really to push drugging our kids, and it's a very sad situation, and it's very detrimental to our children. And I cannot speak to the specific drug that the gentleman mentioned. Perhaps you can, Dr. Stan.
I really can't, but I will tell you that as far as Ritalin is concerned, according to Dr. Peter Dragan, who has, of course, been a professor at Johns Hopkins University, why it attacks the pituitary, it slows the growth, and the children are smaller, their brains are smaller, and of course, it does quiet them down, makes them much more easy to manage. But what does it do over a period of 50 years? Well, we don't know. It's a massive experiment they're carrying out on children all across America, but they're experimenting with so many ways, and well, look, the great experiment with vaccines, one in every six children now today has a neurodevelopmental abnormality and or a behavioral problem. Is this the end result of a great experiment? I believe it is, and I think it's failed. Colleen, God bless you. Thanks so much for
being
with us.
Thank you. You take care.
I will. Bye-bye. Bye. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I want to mention that we do hope many of you will want to get Holly Swanson's excellent book. It's called Set Up and Sold Out. And she has written this, I think it's the third edition. It's got all sorts of great information, which we feel is very important for you to know to understand what's really going on in our society today. So, again, the book is Set Up and Sold Out. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 for a copy of Holly Swanson's book, Set Up and Sold Out. And, of course, we do have a syllabus on sustainable development. We have a four-tape set on sustainable development. We have a video on sustainable development. And we think that all of these things are important. They will help you to understand what we're really up against. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I think it's important that you understand that this whole drive towards sustainable development is really a drive towards controlling the world. It is being pushed by the former dictator of Russia, the former number two man in the UN, really the number one man. Kofi Annan was simply a front for Marie Strong, by Stephen Rockefeller, who it belongs to the Rockefeller family that probably has trillions of dollars in real wealth, certainly far more wealthy than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Of course, they control the media, so they are going to try to give you the impression that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are the richest people in the world. Here, at least here in the United States, has always been the Rockefellers, probably for the last 100 years. So if you understand that, there is this powerful group that really are, of course, are utilizing this whole concept of centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., that's what it's really all about. In fact, it was Nelson Rockefeller, Stephen Rockefeller's father, who wrote a book entitled "I Didn't Want to Be Vice President of Anything." He wanted to be President of the United States, and I think that's what Watergate was really all about. Richard Nixon was supposed to have appointed him Vice President when Spiro Agnew was forced to resign on trumped-up charges, and when Richard Nixon didn't go along with that, why Henry Kissinger and Felt and the others arranged it that Richard Nixon would get impeached, and then Gerald Ford became president, and he appointed Nelson Rockefeller the vice president. And then, of course, the assassination attempt on Ford failed, and, of course, poor old Nelson Rockefeller, he ended up as vice president, and as he wrote in his book, "I never wanted to be vice president of anything." No, the elite always want to be in charge. They want to be in control. And with unlimited funds and the ability to control the media, why they usually are able to. But now, of course, they're looking for world control. And this has been the goal of the ancient mystery religions going back for literally thousands of years. This is what motivated Alexander the Great, who was deeply involved in the mystery religions. And this is what energizes the people working in our government today. The New World Order, the New World Religion. And if you read the writings of the occultists as I do, what do they talk about? Why, we're going to bring democracy to the world. We're going to bring democracy to the world. Well, you have to understand that our founding fathers, wise, very wise men, didn't want democracy because they knew how democracy had failed in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and they wanted a limited government. They wanted a republic, and they did not want a democracy under any circumstances. For, as James Madison had written, democracies are error, spectacles of turbulence and contention, are incompatible with the rights of personal liberty and private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. That's the 10th of the Federalist Papers, I'm paraphrasing. But you get it. Understand that you've been lied to. You can go back to my newsletters and read my remarks on democracies and republics. And then understand that we are fighting to bring democracy to the Middle East. This will ultimately result in dictatorship. This is what Professor Alexander Tyler said back in 1787, when they were writing the Constitution. He said, "Democracies are temporary forms of government. They last only until people find they can vote themselves into the largest of the public treasury. The people vote for the politicians that promise them the most. The country goes bankrupt and is always replaced by a dictatorship," and that's what's happening in America. You really need to get our DVD, The Coming Financial Crisis. That's The Coming Financial Crisis. Let me suggest Holly Swanson's book, Set Up and Sold Out, our syllabus on sustainable development, our syllabus on our four-tape set on sustainable development, and our video on sustainable development. And then, to put this into its spiritual context, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, and the videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, all available from Radio Liberty. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until, well, Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, we're doing a program on the 4th of July. Hope you listen.